Come on, amen. Praise the Lord. You may have a seat. Come on, amen. Come on, tonight at Seek, we're going to have just a wonderful time in the presence of God, trusting and believing that in his presence there is joy and there is rest, and knowing that God can certainly do all things, and we believe that he will as we come to him in faith tonight. It's going to be a great night tonight. And I am blessed to be here this morning. I thank the Lord that you are here this morning. And I'm excited to get into our second part on the fear of the Lord. And what does that look like in a reference of, do we fear the Lord? Do we have that high respect? Do we have that reverence before him? So much so that we begin to hate sin. We begin to hate wickedness, and we begin to hate evil, the premise of evil and the premise of wickedness. And we begin to understand the reality of the fight that we fight is a spiritual battle against our enemy in the devil himself. And when we know this, as we look to what it is to fear God. Last week we looked at fearing God based off of what he's capable of, knowing that he is almighty, all-powerful God who does whatever he pleases. And we just looked at one chapter last week, number 16, and we saw where God went after the wicked and opened up the earth and swallowed them alive, literally, and then brought down fire to take out 250 and then caused a plague that took out 14,700, all in one chapter. That is what God is capable of. Because he is God for those who reject him and come against him. And church, what happens when you and I who understand the love of God, please hear me, that we understand the love of God, and we understand that God is good, and we understand he's compassionate, we understand that he's merciful, and all of that is the picture of Jesus Christ on the cross that compels us to love him back, because we see his love demonstrated. We know his goodness and his mercy. We know his compassion, and we are saved by his grace. But yet, we walk in this high reverence and respect of truly who he is. And we come to him with this holy fear and this reverence before him to know that he is God, and he's in control. He's always been. He always will be. So when we look at the reverence and the fear of God, when you see someone who truly has this respect and reverence of God, who understands salvation by the work of the cross, that Jesus Christ dealt with sin on the cross, when you understand that, where is that picture to hate sin? Where is that picture? If I have a respect and reverence of Almighty God, and I know what it took for my salvation, where is it that I would hate wickedness and that I would hate sin? And today we're going to look at some things today, and I want us to see it. And the first thing is our parental responsibility, moms and dads. What is our responsibility when it comes to teaching our children? What is it to have a healthy fear of God? Come on, if you would turn with me, please, to Deuteronomy 6. I want to get right in this. We've got a ton to cover today. And I am praying that we walk out of this place with just a download of information, a download of Bible, a download of Scripture. And we walk out of this place with a recharged energy on having this fear of God and this reverence of God. And we're going to go through a lot of Scripture today, so I want you to just buckle up and hang on. But let's just pray and say, God, would you just speak to us this morning? Father, we do just ask that you would just speak to us today from your word. God, that I would be the mailman today and just to deliver the mail and speak your truth and read your word. God, I pray that we would just have a love for you this morning, a desire and a hunger for your word. And in that, God, I ask that you would plant seeds within our spirit, that we would hear it and understand it and respond to it. In Jesus' name, come on. Amen? Come on, look at this. Deuteronomy 6. Deuteronomy's kind of in the beginning. Can't miss it. Let's look at Deuteronomy 6. This is what it says right in verse 1. Come on, follow along. We're going to read a lot today. I want you to see this. It says this: "Now this is the commandment and the statutes and the judgments which the Lord our God has commanded me to teach you, that you might do them in the land where you are going over to possess it." Verse 2: "So that you, your son, and your grandson." I love this because this just speaks to generations. I love this because this just, listen, church, we can get so short-sighted. We can get so short-sighted in today's day of the different things that are taking place today, going, it's not really going to affect me. We're getting into some things that are happening today that we need to be very aware of, that we could easily pass over and say, it's not going to affect me. But I love where the Lord is teaching this, saying, it is to you, it is to your sons, and it is to your grandsons. It's meaning generation to generation to generation to generation. And watch what the Lord says, right? Watch this. Verse 2, "So that you and your son and your grandson may fear the Lord your God." May fear the Lord your God. May walk in this holy reverence and walk in this utmost respect of the Lord your God. Watch this. "To keep all of his statutes, his commandments, which I command you all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged." Watch this. Well, you have to see that when you have this healthy fear of the Lord, that there is a result that follows that. You know, for one to say, I have a high fear of the Lord, but yet you don't follow his statutes, you don't follow his commandments, you don't obey his word, you walk in any way that you want to. Like that doesn't line up with what scripture says about having this healthy fear of God. Please follow me. Look at this. Watch this. "That you would fear the Lord to keep all of his statutes and his commandments, which I'm commanding you all the days of your life, that your days may be prolonged. O Israel, you should listen and be careful to do it." To do it means to fear the Lord. You can draw a line from do it to fear the Lord. "That you should be careful to do it." That's fear the Lord. "And it may be well with you." I love the promise. "And it may be well with you. And you may multiply greatly, just as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has promised you in a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God. The Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might." I love that. Jesus repeats this in Mark 12. Listen, what is the greatest commandment? They're trying to trap Jesus. What is the greatest commandment? Jesus said, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Do these things, you complete all the laws." I love where Jesus repeats this in number 6. Jesus repeats it in the New Testament in Mark 12. Watch this. Look what he says again. Look at verse 5. "And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. These words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart." I love this. This is the meditation of our heart. When's the last time you really came, "Lord, I want to love you with all of my heart, with all of my soul, with all of my might, and Jesus, with all of my strength"? Like, when is it that I've really thought through that and say, "All of my heart, all of my soul, all of my mind, all of my strength, this is what I want to love you with, and I want to function in this place of love day in and day out"? Parents, is this part of our daily prayer for our children and for our grandchildren, that they would love God, love Jesus, with all of their heart, with all of their soul, with all of their mind, and with all of their strength, that it would show up in their action that they love the Lord. Watch what it says. Parents' responsibility. I want you to see this. "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. These words I'm commanding you today shall be on your heart." Watch this. Verse 7. "You shall teach them diligently to your sons." You shall teach them diligently to your what? To fear the Lord, to keep his statutes, his commandments, that's the word of God, and to love him with everything you've got. Teach these to your sons, to your grandsons. Teach these to your daughters, to your granddaughters. Look at the parents' responsibility. "You shall teach them diligently." I love the word diligent in scripture. It means with an intensity, that you are zeroed in and you are focused, and this is what I'm going to teach my children. I'm focused on this. I'm zeroed in on this. This is what I'm teaching my children with an intensity that I am very on purpose. I'm very much targeted. I'm very much intense and diligent in teaching my children what it is to have a healthy fear of God, to obey His word, and to love Him with everything in me. That this is what this is saying. Watch this. And you shall teach them diligently to your sons. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign to your hand, and they shall be the frontals of your forehead, and you shall write them on the doorpost of your house and at your gates. Like, I love where the Lord is saying, listen, this is so important from family to family to generation, that the word, we have it now in full form. We have everything that we need in the word of God that we can put it before our kids, put it before our grandkids. Family is so, so important to God. Family is so important to God that we will be teaching generation to generation to generation what it is to truly have a healthy fear of God, and that will show up in your obedience to the word, that will show up in your love for Him, and you will see it all throughout our house. We'll talk about it. When you rise up, we'll talk about it. When we walk around, we'll talk about it. Before you sleep, we'll talk about it at the dinner table. Parents, are we doing this to raise up our children? Can I ask you a serious question? Do your children know what it is to identify a lie immediately? If they are being told a lie, would they be able to identify it immediately and say, nope, that is not what God's word says. Nope, that is not what God's word says. No, I identify that as a lie, and I identify it immediately. I'm not going to let that seed be planted in me because I identify that as a lie. That is opposite of what God's word says. God's word says this. Like, can our kids identify a lie quickly? This is so important. This is so important. How is it that your children begin to teach your grandchildren? How is it that from generation to generation you have family unit that is attached that can easily identify a lie? Let's just flip real quick to Deuteronomy chapter 10, please. You see this again and again. So number one point to this message is, parents, we have a responsibility. As a godly mother and father, we have a responsibility to teach our children what it is to have this healthy fear of God. To teach our children what it is to obey, to know His word and obey His word, and then to just simply love Him with everything in us because He loved us. Number one, parents, we have a God-given responsibility to be very vocal within our homes on the truth of God's word. It says it again, Deuteronomy 10, verse 12 says this. Now, Israel, what does the Lord your God, watch this, require from you? This isn't a game, right? What does the Lord your God require from you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all His ways, to love Him, to serve Him with all your heart and with all your soul. This is the depth of who we are. We can't be, this is not the day, has never been a day, and there will never be a day to be just a surface level Christian. We need to be people who will be all in. We need to be people who will teach our children what it is to be all in based off of a healthy fear of God. Right, again, fear the Lord your God, walk in all His ways, love Him, serve the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and keep the Lord's commandments and His statutes. Watch this, which I am commanding you today for your good. Verse 14, behold, the Lord your God, I love this, behold, to the Lord your God belong heaven and the highest heavens, the earth and all that's in it. Again, it's just this exclamation point to know who our God is. It is God who owns it all. It's God who created the heavens and the earth. It's God who is in charge. And we see what He says compared to what anybody else says. I'm on His team. God says this, someone else says this, I'm on God's team. Why? Because the Lord your God belong heaven and the highest heavens, the earth and all that's in it. Nobody can make that claim. Nobody can claim this verse in verse 14 that that's who they are. Nobody makes that claim but God. I love the behold. When you see behold in scripture, it's like this trumpet sounding, saying, hey, listen, pay attention, exclamation point. The trumpets are going off. Behold, to the Lord your God belong heaven, the highest heaven, the earth, and all that's in it. Guess who's in charge? This is what we need to be teaching our children. There is God who is up here and everybody else and everything else is down here. So whose team are we on and who are we paying attention to and who are we listening to? And that is a great reverence and a fear of God, saying, I know who you are and I know who we are and I know that you are the creator of all things and everything is in your hand and the span of your hand is like, this is amazing to see how great our God is, to say, listen, son, listen, daughter, listen, grandson, listen, granddaughter, listen, great-grandson, great-granddaughter, like this is who our God is, and we should walk in this holy reverence of him because it's his word above everyone else's word, period. Church, where is that today? Where is that today? Come on, look at chapter 13, please. Chapter 13, verse 4. We'll just go to verse 3. It says this, and you shall not listen to the words of that prophet or the dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God is testing you to find out if you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. For you, watch this, you shall follow the Lord your God, fear him. You shall keep his commandments, listen to his voice, serve him and cling to him. I love that. You should serve him and you should hold fast to him. The word cling, it means to hold fast. It means to be steadfast to him. I hope that we are seeing our point as parents and the responsibility that God has given us as moms and dads. I guess the first thing is this, is are you and I walking in that healthy fear of God? Do our kids see in us what we want to see in them? Please hear me. Please hear me. Do your kids see in you? Do your kids see in you what you want to see in them? Do your kids see in you what you want to see in them? Number one, are you having a fear of God? Do you function from a place of hatred for sin? Do you function from a place of obeying his word? Because if we're trying to teach it to our children, we're not doing it ourselves. That's a big word called you're a hypocrite. You're a hypocrite. If you're doing something you don't want your kids to be doing in their adult life, then change, please, please. Because we have a responsibility as a dad and we have a responsibility as a mom to teach and to train our kids in the way that they should go. And I think you understand that they learn by watching more than they learn by you speaking. So number one, if we understand that this is our parental responsibility given by God. Number one, are we fulfilling that? And number two, are we teaching that to our children and showing them the way? Come on, look at Proverbs. We're going to go through a few Proverbs here. Proverbs 3:7. I'm just going to kind of zip through these up on the screen. I want you to be able to see these, please. Proverbs 3:7. The question mark is the word, is the letter F. I don't know what that is. But there you go. A game up there. A game in the booth. Can we say thank you to the booth, please? That's my booth right there. Come on. Proverbs 3:7 says this, do not be wise in your own eyes. I love this. Do not be wise in your own eyes. That simply just means I know more than God. God, I see what you say, but I think I know more than you. How foolish is that, right? How foolish is that when we see and have defined God as the creator of the heavens and the earth, we know his power and his authority. It says, do not be wise in your own eyes. When I see something in his word, I'm not going to trump God and say, ha, I think I know more than you, God. No, do not be wise in your eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. The word shun, it means to turn off or to turn away or to turn your back on it and to shun it, saying, I want nothing to do with wickedness and I want nothing to do with evil. Come on, Proverbs 8, please. Proverbs 8:13, fear the Lord. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Again, we're teaching our children, we're walking in ourselves, is to fear it. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogance and the evil way and the perverted mouth I hate. Come on, Proverbs 14:27. Look at this, watch this. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life that one may avoid, watch this, that one may avoid the snares of death. If I have this healthy fear of God and I understand his word is true and I recognize sin equals death, all based off of my reverence of God and his word, walking in the truth of his commandments, that one may avoid the snares. The word snares here is that trap of death. Proverbs 16, verse 6, last one. Watch this. By loving kindness and truth, iniquity is atoned for. That means it's been dealt with. It's been satisfied, right? Because of loving kindness and truth, sin, which is iniquity, has been atoned for. It's been dealt with. And watch this. By the fear of the Lord, one keeps away from evil. So we can make a truth here saying, if I am walking in a healthy fear of God and I've taught my children and my grandchildren to walk in a healthy fear of God from generation to generation to generation to generation, then we will be a household that hates evil. We'll be a household that will turn our back on wrongdoing and wickedness. We'll be a household that will be able to quickly identify a lie. Now, church, when you get to an understanding of the world that we live in today, and you get an understanding that you see things that are spiritual, biblical truth, and then you see things that become very political. You have to define things, please hear me, as spiritual and not political in today's day. The enemy has taken that which is spiritual and biblical, and he's been so crafty. We got to know our enemy. He's so crafty. He's such a deceiver that he's turned it into political sides. And we're not shy to understand the reality of a growing lie in our society today. This lie is growing. This lie, and we have to be aware of it. This lie is knocking at your door. It's knocking at your television. It's knocking at your movies. It's knocking at your music. It's knocking in your kindergarten class. Please hear me, church. It's this transgender movement. If you would turn to Genesis 1, please. And we have to discuss this for the simplicity of guarding our children. For the simplicity that our children would be able to identify things as spiritual and not political. Church, we have got to see this. Please hear me. We have to be a church. We have to be a people who are God's people who will stand on his word. Please hear me. And be his voice against something that is truly just a lie. And there are many who would think, you know what, that's past my time. I don't have to worry about that. I don't have kids. I don't have, like, we could go down. But when you see and you hear this as a movement that is gaining, watch this, please hear me, it has gained tremendous amount of momentum even in the last 6 months. I mean, you're talking, this is in the last 6 months, this has gained great momentum. And the only way to counter that is with, what does God say? So when we walk in a true, healthy fear of God, we're going to identify sin. And that goes for drunkenness, that goes for fleeing immorality, that goes for sex before marriage, that goes before adultery, that goes before lying, that goes before cheating. Like, we could go down a big long list of sins, saying if I have a healthy fear of God, I'm going to be very careful when it comes to my tongue, when it comes to my storytelling, when it comes to me lying, being a false witness. When I have a healthy fear of God, I'm going to be very careful on my immorality and my pornography. I'm going to be very careful on adultery. I'm going to be very careful in a dating scenario that I'm not having sex before marriage. When I'm walking in a healthy fear of God, I'm going to be very careful with the alcohol and drunkenness. I'm going to be very careful. Like, there's a lot to this, but there is something that now has been widely accepted as okay and even pushed, watch this, to a point that they want to start teaching this to your kindergartners. When is it that you say enough is enough? I don't know where this hits. When it falls to your heart and to where you're at. Because there's many who will battle with this, and we need them to know that God loves you, and he has a plan for you, and he has a purpose for you, and he sent his son Jesus Christ to die for you because of his deep love for you. But again, we don't fight against flesh and blood. We fight against an enemy who is very real, an enemy who is powerful, an enemy who is the greatest deceiver of all, who has now put this to a kindergarten level, and he's made it political, so now there's automatically two sides, and we forget that this was a spiritual truth way before politics ever became. We've got to understand this. Church, if if the voice of God is not heard, then how does this train that is gaining so much momentum, how does it stop? Where are the parents in school to say, you're not teaching that to my, that is absolutely not okay for that to be taught to my kindergartner. It's happening and it's coming. Look what God says. Turn to Genesis 1, please. I want you to see this because it's just, when you see the reality of what God says in his creation, I want you to hear this, please. Genesis 1:27, God created man. This is his sixth day of creation. God created man in his own image. And in the image of God, he created male and female. He created them and he blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. Now look at verse 31. I want you to see this. Get your highlighters out. And God saw all that he had made, and behold, it was very good. Church, when the Bible says God made them in his own image, he made male and female. Every human being is truly made in his image, but it's made in a male gender or it's made in a female gender based off the creation and all-powerful God that he created male and he created female. And God is the one who said it's very good. When we've got to have a deep understanding that gender, watch this, gender, male or female, by the creator of the heavens and the earth, please hear me. It was God who chose, watch this, he chose that for you. It's not chosen by you. We've got to get that. You don't have the right to choose whether you're a male or female. That was chosen for you by the creator of the heavens and the earth for his purpose and for his plan. And as the church, we've got to understand the depth of Genesis 1:27 and verse 31 to have a reality to say, what is it in God's creation of a gender of male and female? And there'll be people who try to use the scripture to twist this so violently and so horribly that they forget that this is absolutely 100% a heterosexual book. Male, female. Watch it. Mother, father, husband, wife, right? Brother, sister, son, daughter. That's all you see from Genesis to Revelation is a heterosexual book. Why? Because there is, watch it, church, there's two genders. From the very beginning, day six, God created them male and God created them female. And if we have a fear of God, this is unchangeable. And when somebody's trying to teach your kindergartner that they can decide for themselves, no, that was already chosen for them by the creator of the heavens and the earth, way bigger than any stupid political system, watch this, that's trying to lie to your kids. So when you identify, no, that's a lie, and you're trying to lie against my children, where is it that your voice matters? Because this is something that is gaining huge momentum. So much so, I want to read to you something from our president. I didn't know that the transgender community, I didn't know that they had a day. Apparently, they have a day. And our president spoke to them on the 31st of March, just a few days ago. Someone sent this to me. And I have asked people to pray specifically for me today. Because stuff like this, man, it can be like this is hurting our kids and it's hurting our grandchildren and our children. And if we don't do anything about it, this isn't an old school issue, church. This is something that is now gaining great momentum. So much so that this is what our president said. He actually, in his speech on Transgender Day, he literally tried to use the Bible and said that you are made in the image of God. What a violation. All mankind is made in the image of God, but he forgot to continue to read verse 27 where it says you are made male and you are made female. And so when when the president of the United States begins to twist scripture, it's amazing to me that even in saying, watch this please, even in saying that you are made in the image of God, you're admitting, I love this, that you're actually admitting that there is a creator who made you. That's in that alone, I'm just like, are you kidding me? You just admitted that there is a God and he is a creator, which means he's above everything and he is the one who actually made you. But then you forgot to say male and female, that he has a plan and a purpose for your life. That God, you admitted that he's the creator and he made you, but you forgot that God is the ultimate of all power and all might, that he created me a man for his glory and for his purpose and for his plan, and he made you a female for his glory and for his purpose and for his plan. And when you screw with that and mess that up, you're missing his purpose and his plan for your life. It's amazing that our president would say, we have a God who created you and made you in his image, and then he can go on and say, but you can choose to be whatever you want to be. It makes no sense, and it's a mockery of the scripture. Church, we cannot mock God. We have to see this for what it is. We cannot be a people who are okay with mocking God. It can't settle right in our spirit that people are being lied to accept this. And again, we don't fight against flesh and blood. This is the enemy who hates God. And it's everyone who is made in the image of God, that's mankind. And he will do everything he can to lie to people. And I need you to understand why this is such a fast-growing momentum. And this is what our president said. This is a quote from his speech. He says this: this administration is standing up for you against all these hateful bills, which he's speaking on the Florida bill, which doesn't even mention it at all. It simply says, don't teach our kids in kindergarten. That's simply what that bill says. But he twists things and makes it just... And then Biden said this: and we are committed to advancing transgender equality in the classroom, on the playing field, at work, in our military, in our housing and healthcare systems, everywhere, simply everywhere. Church, we have to understand that the President of the United States just said that this will be everywhere, simply everywhere. And you see this unfolding in sports. You see this unfolding in the classroom. You see this unfolding. And just to simply identify it as, no, wait a minute, this is a lie that the enemy is selling. Can I ask you this? Where is the church to protect our kids? Where's the church to protect our children? Where's the teachers? Where's the administrations? Where is the moms and dads to say, that's not happening, that is a lie? My child was made in the image of God. He is fearfully and wonderfully made. She is fearfully and wonderfully made and handcrafted as a male and handcrafted as a female by the absolute beautiful hands of God. He knew her in my womb, and he knew, meaning the mom, knew him in my womb. And what happened to that mom's fight, that dad's fight to say, no, that's a lie. And you please hear me, church. How many people know at a kindergarten level and even going through, I don't want to talk to any part of school. Why are you teaching this even in school? Teach them math and teach them science and teach them English and then teach them even finances. How about you teach them how to do a checkbook and how to actually save money and not go in debt? That would be amazing teaching. Why are we teaching this? Please. Again, when you see it, please hear me. When you see it as a biblical truth, and not a political side, I hope that it changes everything for you. Because Genesis 1, 27 and 31, what God said is very good. Why are we able to make a mockery of that? Genesis 1 was way before any political system, obviously. So when you see that this is spiritual and the enemy is the one who's brought it into politics, to deceive and to lie. And when you see there would be many who would say, well, I think people should go by their own emotions and by their own choice. When you're teaching this to a kindergarten level, listen, you know the heart and the mind of a kindergarten. You can sway that any direction you want. What is it the enemy is after our children? Well, I think you just need to follow your heart. Jeremiah 17:9 says the heart is deceitful above all. Woo! You follow your heart, and it's very much against the word, you have been deceived by your own heart. So listen, I got just a few minutes. What is our response to this? So number one, we see a parent's responsibility to just to teach our kids, because I want our children to look at that and say, that's a bit crazy. Like, no, I'm a man or I'm a girl. Like, this is it. I don't want some dude in my locker room. Like a girl should say, I don't want a dude in my locker room. Like the girl should be able to say that. Like I don't even have time to get into what's happening in sports today. You've seen the news. It's crazy. It's wrong. It's not fair that a dude is winning championships and he's built like a mountain. Like that just, none of that makes any sense whatsoever. But yet today's day, they let it fly. But church, what happens? One of you would just turn with me, please, to, what time is it? Turn with me, please, to just 1 Corinthians, please. 1 Corinthians 6. I'm sorry, 2 Corinthians 6. We're in 1 Corinthians 6 last week. 2 Corinthians 6, please. So what's our response to this as the church? And please hear me. Please hear me. We're not fighting against people. God loves. And it's our desire for these people to come to know the true loving God who would put his son on a cross to die for their sin. We want them to come to know Jesus. We want them to turn from sin as we have had to turn from sin and to know that God loves them and God has a plan for them and they have been fearfully and wonderfully made and they bought into a lie. And please hear me, it's not the lie of a man, it's the lie of our enemy. And when you understand, when you take the man picture and the political picture out of this and you bring it back into spiritual, you begin to identify who we're really fighting. We're not fighting a person. We aren't fighting a community of people. We're fighting a lie from the enemy who hates mankind. So when you can separate the two to say, listen, I'm fighting against the enemy. I'm not fighting against people. Man, we love people. We want to see God do a work in people's lives in such a beautiful way to remind them, man, there is something in their spirit that knows this, church. There's something in their heart that knows God created me for more. He has a plan for me and has a purpose for me. As he created me a man. He created me a woman. He chose that for me. I don't get to change it. I want to understand the reverence of God. Look at our responsibility here. I want you to see this. 2 Corinthians 6:14 says this, "Do not be bound together with unbelievers, for what partnership have righteousness and lawlessness? And what fellowship has light with darkness? What harmony has Christ with Belial?" Belial is a term for the wickedness and the depth and evil of Satan. "For what has a believer in common with an unbeliever? And what agreement has a temple of God with idols?" Church, this is just so clear that you and I are called to be different. Not to be ashamed of the truth, because people's lives are at stake. Remember when we looked at what it means to let people know the bridge is out ahead. The bridge is out ahead. I don't want us to go around and be all judgy and judge people. We want to encourage people to come to know God, because the bridge is out ahead. I care more about your eternity than you do. I care more about where you're going to go when you die than you do right now. You just don't seem to understand that. But I love you, and I need to encourage you to turn from sin and turn to the one who loves you and created you and made you. Church, this isn't about judging. This is about the truth of God's word and turning people to know the loving God that he is, that he would send his own son to die on the cross for them as much as he did for me, as much as he did for you. Please understand this. This isn't the good guys versus the bad guys. We all stink. We're all wretched until we understand the beautiful work of the cross, and then we are clothed in righteousness. But we are called to be different. We are called to be separate from the world and wickedness. 2 Corinthians 5:20, we'll end with this. I want you to see this, please, because church, where is our voice? Because if you understand this verse, our voice needs to be the voice of God. When you understand what an ambassador is, therefore we are ambassadors for Christ. When you understand what an ambassador is one who is in a foreign country, but yet they represent the country that they belong to, but yet they're not in that country. They're in a foreign land, but yet they, watch this. They're the spokesperson here. This is my country, and now I'm not in my country. I'm an ambassador for my country. I am the spokesperson. I carry the voice and I carry the authority of my country here in a foreign land. Same word. You and I who know and trust and love Jesus Christ, you know this, we are foreigners here. But yet we are ambassadors for Christ. You and I carry his voice and his mission, yet not from our place in heaven, but yet here as ambassadors for him in a foreign land, we are his voice and we carry his authority. Where is God's voice when it comes to such an attack and such an assault on male and female? Where's God's voice? Is the enemy's voice louder than ours? And I speak as the church as a whole. There is such a movement in the woke movement of church that should make you want to puke. It should make you want to puke. They have ditched the word of God for man's attention. That's just bottom line what I think it is. They have ditched truth to get man's attention for themselves, to follow a line in a political sense that is anti-truth. So where is the voice of God? Listen, people are broken. There's a desperate need for Jesus Christ. And there's a desperate need for truth. There's a desperate need for the church to be unashamed and to pick up a sword and be ready to go to battle for the sake, watch this, of our kids and grandkids, for the sake of truth, for the sake of one day knowing I will stand before the Lord and give an account for everything of being on this privileged place of this stage. It is a privilege. But it's dangerous to be on this stage. because I will give an account for everything that I preach. Church, that's dangerous. I will give an account for the truths that I ignored because I was scared. And when you see in Revelation, the ones who won't make it to heaven, the ones that lead the list are the cowards. I know my place here. And I know that it's an honor, and I know that it's a privilege, but I know that it's dangerous. For what I say, and for what I don't say. And when you see such a fast-growing momentum of a transgender movement that is lying to our children at a kindergarten level, the church can't stay silent. Not if you have a reverence and a respect of God and His Word, and you care for the lies that is being told. Church, when you understand that I and you are an ambassador for Christ, that we speak on His behalf, and that we are salt and that we are light, I don't want to play games and mix match with the other's team. I want to win them, but we'll win them on a bold line in the sand to say, listen, it's Jesus' team or bust, man. This is the way it is. What business does a believer have in common with an unbeliever? What business does one who is full of light come to one who is full of darkness? What business is the Jesus team to Belial's team? The depth of wickedness on our enemy, Satan. Like, when you see there's a distinct sides, church, there will be a day that you will have to draw the line in the sand to say, I'm on Team Jesus, and I stand on His Word, and I'm not ashamed of that, and I will be a voice for Him because I'm His ambassador. I represent Him here on the earth. And watch this, as He was persecuted and as He bled and died on a cross, watch this. How is it that we don't stand for everything that He stood for and wrote for us that we have in front of us to say, I will be a soldier of Christ and I will not apologize for it? Where's that today, church? Come on, let's just stand to our feet, please. Kay's going to close in a song. Come on, tonight is seek. Don't miss seek. And I just have prayed throughout the week that this was delivered with strength, with power, with anointing, but very straight. I just said, God, let me just speak it straight. As a straight male, God, help me to speak it very straight. I just made that up. That's funny. But church, I hope you realize that there truly is a battle that is set before us. This is getting bigger and it's getting louder. Even so, from the statement of the President of the United States, who says this will be everywhere, simply everywhere, which means coming to a house near you. That's what that means. I'm going to put it in your living room. I'm going to put it in your books. I'm going to put it in your songs. I'm going to put it in your television. I'm going to put it in your movies. Parents, what are we teaching our kids? Because they will deal with this. They will deal with this. So, man, as we just close in a song, I'm just asking, saying, God, where am I in this? Where am I in this? Do I hold a strong position on Your Word? Do I know, am I going to put my head in the sand and ignore it? That's worked real well lately. Am I going to be unashamed and say, people's lives are truly at stake? Eternity is at stake. And this isn't a game. Lord, we just come before You today. I thank You for Your anointing in this word. I thank You for Your strength. I thank You for straight truth. No games. There's so much at stake, we can't play games. we all understand the reality of what's happening today. And God, that you would be proud of your people here at this church to care deeply for children. God, we want 200 children in this house weekly so that they can be built on a firm foundation of your word, to know you, to have a healthy reverence of you, to identify lies immediately, to teach and to train moms and dads, to teach and to train husbands and wives, to teach and to train young people and high school students and college students. God, to teach and to train a boldness within their spirit, God, to say, no, I identify that as a lie. God, I pray for 200 children in our children's church on the other side of this wall as they hear it and they're taught it and they understand it. And God, they'd walk in a healthy fear of you so that they could pluck seeds immediately that the enemy is trying to plant. God, I pray for your work to be done here. And God, you'd be proud of us as your sons and daughters, as we are your ambassadors, as we stand firm, as we hold the line for the sake of mankind. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, seek tonight, but listen as Katie just closes us out. Man, where are you in this today? Come on.